Our salute to the musical Guys and Dolls, now being revived on Broadway, continues. When Frank Lesser wrote his shows, he made demo recordings to demonstrate to the cast what the song should sound like. Those demos were discovered years later by Joseph Weiss, the copyright manager of Paul McCartney's publishing company, which acquired Lesser's publishing company in 1979. Along with the acquisition came hundreds of unindexed tapes. Weiss listened to those tapes and discovered, to his delight, that some of them featured Lesser himself. Terry spoke with Joseph Weiss in 1992 when a CD of those demos was released. We'll start with a sample from the Guys and Dolls demos. Lesser's voice is the first one you'll hear on this trio version of Fugue for Tin Horns.
I got the horse right here, her name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, can do. This guy says the horse can do. If he says the horse can do, can do, can do.
Are you crazy? I'm thinking Valentine, cause on the morning line, the guy has got him figured at 5 to 9.
But look at Epitaphy, when's it by a half? According to this here and on telegraph, I tell you, Epitaph.
Valentine!
I got the horse right here. Just a minute, boys, I got the beatbox noise. It says the great-grandfather was equipoise.
For Paul Revere, I'll fight, I hear his foot's all right. Of course,
this guy says the horse shows right
last night.
I tell you, Epitaph,
Paul Revere,
I got the horse right here.
Tell me what the experience was like the first time you found one of these Frank Lesser demo recordings and you put it on and heard it.
It's a very hard thing to explain. Not only because of how great the recordings themselves are, but because of how I feel about Frank Lesser. It was a very exciting experience, and it was immediately satisfying. The first time that I heard his voice, I wasn't even sure it was his voice. It was a guess because it was one of his songs. I honestly don't remember now which one it was. But it was clearly not a commercial singer, and it was just that interesting voice with a piano. There are, I'd say, five geniuses in musical theater whose names always come up when we talk about the creation of American musical theater. And they are George Gershwin, Jerome Kern, Richard Rodgers, Irving Berlin, and Cole Porter. And I always feel that there should be a sixth name in there, that Frank Lesser's name belongs in that group. And there are a few reasons it probably doesn't show up there. One of them is that his output for Broadway was only 5 scores, and it only spanned 15 years. And that he's actually a later writer than the rest of them. He wasn't there for the formative years, which all of the others were. And he also wasn't excessively self-promoting, which is not to say the others were, but that had he chosen to do so, I think his name could have become a household word just like the others.
Well, one of just the revelations of this record is listening to Frank Lesser sing Sue Me from Guys and Dolls, and this is a different version of it than you'd hear on any of the cast recordings or in any of the shows. Do you want to describe what's different about it?
Yes. Well, two things are different. One is that it's not a duet, which is the way the song is done in the show. And it also has a verse which isn't used in the show. And it's a very sweet, low-key, subtle, as far as the comedy is concerned, version of the song. It's not only done this way on this demonstration recording. It was actually published this way at the time Guys and Dolls opened on Broadway. And there were recordings by other artists in this style.
Now, in the original cast recording, Sam Levine sang the part, or played the part, I should say, yeah, of Nathan Detroit. That's the same part that was played by Frank Sinatra in the movie. And Sam Levine couldn't sing, so he just kind of, like, brays this song. You know, he just kind of hollers the song, whereas Frank Lesser sings it as a lovely ballad with really kind of funny lyrics.
Yes.
Why don't we hear Frank Lesser singing Sue Me?
So you're all the time right,
and I'm all the time wrong. So my character's weak and your character's strong. So your brow is so high and my brow is so low. Well, brow, schmow, I'm close to you now. And all I can tell you is, oh, go sue me, sue me. What can you do me? I love you. Give a holler and hate me, hate me. Go ahead, hate me. I love you. All right already, I'm just a no good Nick. All right already, it's true. So new, so sue me, sue me. What can you do me? I love you.
You got these Frank Lesser demonstration discs just in a kind of bundle, I guess. How come do you think they weren't taken better care of?
Well, I think the reason they weren't taken better care of is that, to a large extent, I don't think the people who were handling the catalog for several years realized that that's what was there. The way discs and tapes of this kind are often marked would be as simple as a label that says, Luck Be a Lady. And there would be hundreds of discs marked Luck Be a Lady in a catalog like that, and most of the time they'd identify the artist. On a demonstration disc, the artist is rarely identified, whether it's a commercial singer or the original composer. So I don't think that anyone neglected material because they didn't care, but just because it wasn't obvious that it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that made it such a pleasure to play through the material, was that if I picked up a disc that said Luck Be a Lady and dropped the needle on it, I didn't know if I was going to hear just another reference dub of the cast album or if the voice that came over the speakers was going to be the genius who wrote the song.
What a thrill this all must have been.
It was. It was. The period, it was about 10 years ago that all of this took place, that my playing through the recordings took place. And I was fairly new to the music business at the time. And it was an incredible experience for me. It was, now it occurs as a very sweet, romantic period for me to be new to the business and yet have the privilege of listening, and listening alone in the late hours of the day, to material that probably hadn't been heard by anyone for decades.
Joseph Weiss, speaking with Terry Gross in 1992, the year Weiss produced a CD of Frank Lesser demo recordings.